Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and in a special edition of the podcast, we sit down with George Papanier, the president and CEO, and Phil Giuliano, the executive vice president of casino operations and chief marketing officer for the Bally's Corporation, to talk about the company's Atlantic City property and plans to renovate and improve it. The GGB podcast is brought to you by IGT's Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at IGT.com/peak. We'll be having some fun. Under the boardwalk. People walking above. Under the boardwalk. We were falling in love. Bally's Atlantic City was the third casino to open on the boardwalk in 1980 and quickly became a success. Through a variety of owners down through the years, Bally's wound up as a Caesars property up until last year when, as a condition of licensure for the new owners, Bally's was sold to the then Twin Rivers Casino Company. After the purchase of the property, Twin River followed up with Caesars to buy the Bally's brand. The company, now known as Bally's Corporation, has pledged to invest as much as $100 million in the property, which has suffered from neglect over the past few years, and the differences are immediately recognizable. George Papanier, the president and CEO, and Phil Giuliano, the executive vice president of casino operations and chief marketing officer, sat down with me at the Bally's offices in Atlantic City in July. People walking above. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is George Papanier, the president of Bally's Corporation, and Phil Giuliano, the vice president of marketing for Bally's, senior vice president, I guess, right? Guys, welcome. Thanks for taking the time for doing this.
Pleasure.
Welcome. So, I want to start off by congratulating you by getting the steal of the year in 2020 with the purchase of Bally's for $25 million and then the Bally's brand for another $20 million. I mean, that's a pretty incredible price to pay for two traditional and really well-established names in the gaming business. So tell us what led up to that purchase.
Sure. So the purchase of the Bally's purchase and the name, it was interesting. It was during COVID. Mm-hmm. We were kind of maintaining a pretty high level of liquidity, and there were some opportunities that arose during that period, others in addition to these two, and we just took advantage of that opportunity. So when that was presented to us, we looked at it from first and foremost, we looked at it as an opportunity to enter into the sports betting and iGaming markets of New Jersey.
Sure.
Certainly mature market, probably demonstrates the best market currently out there today.
No pressure.
And we needed to be a part of that, and we took that opportunity. At the same time, when we evaluated the asset, we felt, Bill and myself, that there was upside to this asset, mm-hmm. and I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit later. So we looked at it as a real opportunity to enter a market center of the boardwalk, and the ability to transform the property. As far as the Bally's name is concerned, we were looking at names because we really felt, because of what we were trying to do overall as a company, entering into sports betting and iGaming, that we needed a unifying brand.
Right.
And we decided to take a look at some opportunities out there. Caesars, they had several brands within their portfolio, right. And they really weren't doing much with the Bally's brand. And when we went to look at that brand, we realized that it was really the number three brand within their portfolio.
Right.
So, there was high awareness associated with that. Phil did a lot of research on it, and we felt very comfortable that it was a brand that we could kind of integrate nationally into our sports betting, iGaming, as well as bricks and mortar. So, we talked about price and ultimately came down to a fair price, and we jumped on that opportunity.
Sure. Well, Phil, from being in Atlantic City all the years, Bally was a strong brand in the very early days of Atlantic City, where was the third casino to open. So it had a lot of loyalty in this market. Was that part of the idea to extend that loyalty?
Well, first of all, Roger, it was the envy of everybody that didn't work at Bally. It was a money store, as we used to call it, right? And a sea of table game players and slots full, and just a great brand. So As George said, the name, we did some research with our New York New York firm that helped us, will help us rebrand all the properties, and gave us a plan for that. And we did 1,000 interviews throughout the country, and our awareness was off the charts. So why? There's only 2 Bally casinos in the United States. And you realize that Bally goes all the way back to the pinball machine, right? And the manufacturer of slots, and then the casinos itself, and probably even the gyms, right? But the awareness was wonderful, which was, we couldn't have picked a better name. Sure. We couldn't have picked a better brand to when you're launching a brand in gaming. I think my first reaction was when George said, should we buy the name? I said, well, it costs us $10 million to change the signs on this. So let's do that, you know? So anyway, we're excited about the brand.
Sure. You know, having been in this property, you know, the past 10 years or so, you know, Caesars didn't really reinvest, the old regime at Caesars didn't really reinvest in any of their properties, and this one was certainly at the bottom of their list. So what did it look like when you came in here? What kind of shape was it?
Well, in the vernacular of the street, it needs work. And, you know, there's issues, you know, there's a lot of stuff that the customer doesn't see.
Right.
That has to be repaired and brought up to proper operating conditions. And then there's things that the customer sees perhaps I wish they didn't. But I can tell you, it's got great bones, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at something like this and you say, okay, what's a vision for the next, to a resurrection, right? A renaissance.
Right.
And I say it's staring us right square between the eyes. We're going to make this place sparkle. We're going to spend the money intelligently,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to spend it so that the customer can enjoy this place and want to come back.
Yeah, no question. So, George, one of the stipulations of the deal was you didn't get the Wild Wild West, and what portion of the revenue, you know, came out of that part of the building?
Well, there was a reason why Caesars wanted to retain that. It was it has a pretty good nightlife component to it. Mm-hmm. They obviously invested a lot of money into the sports book.
Right.
There and they do get incremental slots and table game revenues from that, so it was a decent portion of the number. We anticipate that it was a little bit more than what was suggested to us.
Okay,
when we looked at this property, we always anticipated that we would be able to turn this property around. Not overnight. It's not like flipping a light switch. Really, we were looking at incremental improvements to the property, and as a condition of our license, we have to spend $90 million over several years, and we felt that that was an important component, mm-hmm. to ultimately creating the success that this property once saw, and everything we're doing from a marketing perspective is very cautious,
right.
Because we don't want to get too far ahead of what we're ultimately going to be presenting to the customer through all this, I'll call Project CapEx.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we really feel that beginning of next summer, we'll be in a much better position to really reintroduce this property, and we're working towards that.
Sure. Well, you already did a few things. You got the FanDuel Sportsbook, correct? That's a great addition. I was in there the other night, and it looks like it was really hopping, you know. And you got a couple of restaurants you've rebranded. So, how are they performing so far?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll talk a little bit, and then Phil could talk about the restaurant component, because that's an integral component to what we're trying to do here by introducing certain restaurant brands. The sportsbook opened in the beginning of March Madness,
mm-hmm.
so we were able to launch it at that point in time. But it's only a retail sportsbook, so it performs at a lesser degree than a mobile gaming, and we're looking to introduce mobile sports betting by the end of this year. Mm-hmm. Something we'll be very focused on.
Right. Phil, I know you're very much into the restaurant food and beverage component here.
Yeah, I think when we finish, I believe this will be the place to eat.
Yeah.
Right. And why do I say that? Well, because first of all, Guy Fieri was probably the best kept secret in the city. Mm-hmm. And when we got up here, I thought, well, I'm not sure about that. I went in to eat and saw the menu, saw the execution, tasted the food. So, oh my God, we got to tell people about this. Yeah. However, you know, it was isolated in one spot, and the virus was, you know, COVID was hot and heavy, and people were not allowed to go in any amount, any significant amount, 20% at capacity or 50%. Yeah. So we said, however, we need more. So here was a Toro's, if you can remember a Toro's, and I do remember it, overlooking, you know, the park, which is a great view, and it's closed. Okay, so we had developed a brand in Dover, Jerry Longo's Meatballs and Martinis. Mm-hmm. He's Atlantic City originally, from South Philly to Atlantic City and then up to Connecticut as a big-time host. Is a lot of Soprano friends and things of that nature. And we thought he was a great fit in the casino. He opened in Dover and just absolutely killed it, right? And wow. So we opened them again up in Rhode Island, and he's doing it great in Rhode Island. And we said, well, he just belongs here in Atlantic City. Well, he's an unprecedented opening. It's just fabulous what he's doing. The buzz coming out of there is crazy. Restaurant is great. Has entertainment component to it late at night. Mm-hmm. And then we still need more, right? So we had Booga the Pep had been here and kind of masquerading as a three-meal restaurant. We now have a legitimate three-meal restaurant coming. I'm really excited about Water Dog. They opened up in Ventnor in the summer, and I went down to visit them. I knew some people that were involved, and my God, it was just it was a little hole in the wall, and they're doing land office business. They're going to be our three-meal restaurant. They should be open, hopefully, by the first week in August. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple other restaurateurs that are talking to us. The deals aren't official, so I don't want to jinx it, and I don't want to announce it. But by the time we're done, the array of Harry's is here, as it has been. Time we're done, I think Bally's is going to be a place to eat.
Sure. So that gives us the start of next summer. You're saying, you know, stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. So the transition from the Caesars property to Bally's. I mean, I'm sure. I don't know what deal you got in terms of the list or things like that. But how did you encourage the Bally's customers to stay with you guys?
Yeah, that's always a challenge when you decouple from Caesars, right? You remember, Caesars Rewards, Total Rewards was alleged to be an incredible success in the industry. I have some trouble with that, in particular, situationally I do.
Sure, right.
However, it is a magnanimous loyalty program that gives you a lot of options to do a lot of things in a lot of places. So it's never going to be easy to do that. So what we've done is we've committed to the customer. Our slogan is players love rewards and Bally loves rewarding. Mm-hmm. We are going to create value for a customer that they just, if they're a legitimate gambler, gamer that comes into this market, they're going to want a piece of this because it's too good to be true. You've got to get it. That's the way we're going to operate. And we think it's going to work real well for us. It is working well for us, mm-hmm. but it's going to take time because also the mousetrap, as we say in the business, is also very important. We have to get that in line. We have to get that right.
What kind of incentives are you giving new players to come in and sign up?
Well, they can negotiate their own incentive here. Yeah. All right, we say here's the program. We have the database. We mail to you. We grave you don't like it.
Right.
Talk to one of the hosts, tell us what it's going to take to do business with you. That's the attitude we take. Now, if the guy's irrational or the customer's crazy, we're not going to do that. But as long as it makes sense, we're going to probably do that. And I've found in my time in this business that there is honor among these players. When they tell you that's what they want and that's what they believe they deserve, they usually perform to that level. And so that's our attitude. And as a matter of fact, it's funny you ask. I just finished that little soliloquy in a marketing meeting today.
So you got to have some really good casino hosts and casino marketing execs. Are you adding some of those type of people, or did they stick with you when this hell went through?
Yeah, we went through some change because once again Caesars was smart enough to take all the best people out of here and leave behind who they left behind. But we've made a major move in Asian marketing, and we're a very busy place. I think our table game drop, we're about fifth in town now. Mm-hmm. And we're equal to 19 levels. And I think that we'll be working hard in slots with programmatically, promotionally, and through sales. Right. You know, casino sales is player development. Right. That's what we call it. And we're going to be working, making sure the process is real tight, and make sure we measure our effort. And George and I want to put our heads on the pillow at night saying, we've done everything we can possibly do to attract a customer.
So George, you know, there's one of the things they didn't reinvest into was gaming equipment. I mean, just walking through the casino the other night, I'm looking at the slots, and they're pretty old. I mean, are you going to really upgrade the level of the slots for the players?
Well, we've already started that. So if you go back and look at the floor again,
right.
You're going to see that there's a lot of new product that's mm-hmm. on the floor now as opposed to when we acquired the building. And we're going to continue to do that. We think it's integral to any success going forward, not only in the slot product, but also in the table games product.
Right.
So we've gone through kind of a little bit of a reconfiguration of the gaming floor. That's going to continue to introduce new product. But we're also going to introduce new systems. And systems from a marketing perspective so that we have a better ability to track our customer and reward them more efficiently.
The Peak family of top-performing cabinets by IGT are accumulation of years of research and development, a passion leveraging both internal expertise and customer feedback. Results are a series of astounding cabinets that command attention with sleek modern features, ergonomically perfected curves, and bold design. Every aspect of the Peak cabinets have been scrutinized to ensure a comfortable gaming experience resulting in exceptional performance you can bank on. Learn more at igt.com/peak. And now back to our podcast.
So, gambling revenues have certainly, come back, not quite to the 2019 level, but they're on the way. Lagging behind is the non-gaming revenues, and, that's always an important element. I know you're renovating some of the hotel rooms, so you probably are getting a better ADR and occupancy rates. What's your plan to, push the non-gaming revenues back in?
Well, that's all part of the future for us. That's when I talk about kind of seeing incremental improvements and marketing holding back until we catch up to the physical state of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we're introducing, which Phil just alluded to, from a restaurant perspective, we think that's going to be superior. But everything we add also assists in our marketing efforts. So we talked a little bit about Asian.
Right.
Marketing, part of that is Asian, authentic Asian restaurants.
Sure.
So we're going to continue to kind of move our project CapEx in that direction to capitalize on the customer.
Okay.
So, we have 87,000 square feet of meeting space here.
Right.
The meeting business isn't back yet.
Right.
Next door, our neighbor next door has, I think, 100,000 square feet of mm-hmm. meeting space. So we think we're going to be a nice destination for that business when it comes back, and that's that cash business, and that's
right.
that, that filler business is during the week business. Mm-hmm. We're going to go after that real hard and real heavy. And in order to do that, you better be able to have a place for everybody to eat,
right?
Mm-hmm. And a place to, and a good environment to relax in. We've got a unique thing that we're planning for the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
The lobby is going to be redone. There's actually by George's direction came up with a great idea. I thought we're going to do something in the lobby bar that's going to be a must-see attraction, right? And also as an opportunity to sell in that bar. It doesn't have to be all comps, as we know about. So our beach bar is kind of legendary in the amount of business that it does. And I just finished talking to some movers and shakers in town about what needs to be out on the beach in the form of concerts. They have the fish concert coming up. But, is there a possibility for some regular beach concerts in this particular region,
sure.
in the center of town,
mm-hmm.
that, with the stage up against I want to set $1 million beer. I'm really dating myself. Yeah. Okay.
I call it Ocean One.
Ocean. Okay. All right. So anyway, you know, that we could leave it up maybe for the summer and or for an extended period of time and really blow it out. You know.
Sure.
Yep. So that's cash business, right? And it produces cash business.
Right.
So that's the focus we have on non-gaming revenues.
Okay. So you're going to work then with the folks at the Claridge to build that the meetings and convention.
Business. That would be I think it's a rather unique amount of space we have. I mean, I know there's other places that have space, but we have quite a bit of space. We can handle, you know, and it is 1,700 rooms, so we can handle some nice sized meeting business.
Yeah. We're right here in the middle of the boardwalk, and you know, there have been some incidents on the boardwalk this summer, incidents, and just like any big city, it's not just unique to Atlantic City. But are you talking to the city government about making the boardwalk maybe safer and also the drive-in, that kind of thing?
Actually, it's amazing you ask that question. I just finished a conversation on that. That was the 3 o'clock, the 4 o'clock meeting, right? There's usually every hour or something, right? So what I think is important is I think the state should really, hopefully, will step up here and listen to the voices that are clamoring for infrastructure. If there is to be infrastructure spent, the boardwalk ought to be redone. Mm-hmm. If you've walked the north, I walk the boardwalk all the time.
Right.
That's what I do. I try to do every day. I try to walk, right? You walk Ocean City Boardwalk and it's, you know, lovely to walk. You walk the Atlantic City Boardwalk and it's rough. Until you get to the north end where that boardwalk has been redone.
Right.
I don't know if you've been up there recently. It's spectacular up there. Right, okay. So that needs to be carried out throughout the entire boardwalk so that the boardwalk get the iconic boardwalk gets its proper place in this state, and as it's a foundation for tourism and into Atlantic City, and if Wildwood gets it too, good, God bless, or Asbury Park, whoever, but boardwalks are important to this state, and right. I think hopefully they'll fall under the guise of infrastructure safety. I think that, you know, the more we talk about safety and the more we talk about beautification, and the more we sparkle in this town, I think the greater will be. I think that CRDA has a program to foreclose on properties and get rid of the blighted properties, mm-hmm. and I hope they're extremely active in doing that, because it's absolutely essential for the success of this town long term.
Right, and you guys are obviously willing to cooperate in any kind of effort.
Yes,
absolutely. So George, let's talk about the Valley brand once again. You bought what, six properties in the last year or two across the country. Are you going to rebrand them all as Valleys? Now you're in the Tropicana business too. You've got one in Evansville and one in Vegas. So are they all going to be rebranded Valleys, or how are you going to work with that?
Yeah. So certainly this last year or so has been transformative for the company.
Sure.
I think we're now up to 14 properties, mm-hmm. In 10 states.
Right.
And when we close on the pending transactions, we'll be 16 properties in 11 states. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we have the third largest portfolio of casino assets in the U.S. right now. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to rebrand every one of them. We're still going through a process with the Hard Rock. It's going to stay the Hard Rock for now.
Right.
But certainly every property in our portfolio will be rebranded.
Yeah.
Probably over the next 12 months or so.
Right.
We're excited about that.
So, you know, one of the things I was so impressed when I spoke with Sue Kim, your chairman, was his commitment to this omni-channel idea that, it's not just about gambling, it's not just about online sports betting, it's not just about iGaming. You put it all together under the guise of entertainment, and that's how you build loyalty. So let's start with online gaming. You mentioned that one of the attractions of buying Bally's here in Atlantic City was to get involved in the vibrant online gaming market in New Jersey. How important is that as to the overall company?
Well, it's critically important. We're slowly becoming an interactive company, mm-hmm. and with a significant bricks and mortar component to it. And you know, initially, when with the repeal of PASPA in 2018,
right?
You know, it was apparent that sports betting was taking off, and we had to be a part of that. So we dove into sports betting, and a big part of access at the time was through bricks and mortar, mm-hmm. And that that helped us with or encouraged us to go aggressively after a pretty significant portfolio,
sure.
And we did that, and right. We accomplished that. But we're also seeing now there's open licenses in other states,
right.
Like Virginia. We have a license there. Tennessee. I think we're in Iowa. As a matter of fact, today we just announced that we went online for sports betting in Iowa. 2 months ago, we did that in Colorado, and Indiana will be next, and Atlantic City by the end of the year
right.
will be the four that we're focused on this year,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll aggressively. Bring the rest of our portfolio into sports betting in 2022. So it's critically important to us to be in this interactive space.
Great. Well, another thing that I liked about Sue's plan was to get your own technology. You know, with the purchase of BetWorks, GameSys, I think was a monumental get because they have experience, very much experience in New Jersey. We've worked with them in my business in the past, and really really professional people. You know, you've got this. What was it, Sport Trade? What it is? Or there was a
sports. Sports Caller.
Sports caller, right.
And we also did our first. We acquired the third largest daily fantasy sports
right.
company in Monkey Knife Fight.
Right.
Yeah.
I always love that name.
Yeah.
But they have a great list, though, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're in 38. They're in 38 states.
Sure. So this gives you, you know, the opportunity to have proprietary technology and really move forward. And so you could actually build this technology to be different than anybody else. Is that really the idea there?
Well, that's right. So the interesting thing with BetWorks is the BetWorks transaction needed to occur in order for us, because there's one piece that you're missing,
right. Yeah.
Is this significant media relationship with Sinclair.
Mm-hmm.
Which really opened up,
right.
Which really has opened
sure.
us up to significant markets and a significant amount of markets in the U.S. I think they have about 80% coverage from a broadcasting
sure,
perspective.
Right.
There's 19 regional sports networks mm-hmm. that we now are part of with the Bally Sports brand
sure, yeah.
that launched with baseball season. So yeah, owning BetWorks was the first step that we needed to do because we always wanted to own the technology. So
right.
it's proprietary technology and allows us to really kind of configure and react to what the customer is demanding within the technology side
right.
of the business.
Right.
So we thought that was very important. And you mentioned GameSys.
Right.
That's separate technology, mm-hmm. But it's for iGaming.
Right.
Very successful in Europe, primarily in the UK. They
sure.
also do business in Spain and to a lesser degree in Japan. And we felt that would give us a significant leg up in iGaming in the U.S. if we
sure.
could acquire an asset like that,
right.
And as you said, they're already in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
but you know they're not a true omni-channel. They're just providing a B2B
right.
technology.
Yes. Yeah.
With us, you know, it will provide the B2C component of that, and just like BetWorks, it gives us the ability to really focus on really what a customer. Would need within iGaming space.
Sure. I think the Sinclair thing was brilliant as well. I watch a lot of baseball, and every time I see a game from the hinterlands, there's a Bally brand on
yeah.
it. So I mean, you guys are getting
like millions of impressions a year with
yeah.
Bally's
yeah.
with the Bally's brand.
Yeah. So yeah.
And I want to compliment you on the Bally's. The Bally shirt that you're wearing here today.
I wore one of my
love the brand.
For Pursuit Kim too.
Very good. Very good.
He appreciated that as well. So yeah, one of the things that I always thought that online gaming, you know, should be able to online gaming, online sports betting should be able to drive people into the bricks and mortar properties, you know, and I frankly don't think it's been really done successfully in any of these states yet. I mean, they've started up and there's some, you know, trading points and things like that, but they don't really aggressively do it. Are you seeing that down the road that you could really do that?
Yeah, we have to, the brand. You know, with the brand, we're going to vertically integrate, you know, bricks and mortar with the iGaming and sports betting component. There's a retail aspect to us now, and it's critically important for anyone to have success in the future in gaming. The other thing is we think that it's completely complementary. All the iGaming and is completely complementary to bricks and mortar, because they're two different experiences, and we believe that they're for the most part different customers, but there is crossover, and we think there'll be more crossover from the iGaming side to the bricks and mortar side than vice versa, and it just continues to expand the kind of the universe of potential customers.
I just want to wrap it up with one more thing about the online. I want to talk about the app. I haven't seen the app yet because it's not in New Jersey or Nevada where I live. So how is that performing, and are you happy with that, or does it need some improvement? How do you think?
Well, we're going to continue to evolve the app. Yeah. It was originally the Fox Sports app.
Right.
Now it's the Bally Sports app, and and you know they have 38,000 subscribers within that, so we think that's going to be very helpful from a customer acquisition perspective as far as costs associated with that. And we just launched it in for the most part, so we're still continuing to evolve that, and we're looking forward
so you're
to
we're
looking at 2021 as, I don't want to call it a beta year, but effectively kind of testing the markets, testing the applications, and refining them in 2022, you know, we're going to blow it out.
And that's another thing I think hasn't really been totally taken advantage of yet, these apps. you know, I was talking to Art Manteris last week in Nevada, and he was telling me that, you know, there's one, you know, if the app doesn't take a bet and pay a bet, it's not worth anything.
Right.
He said all these bells and whistles are great, but he said if it's not easy to make a bet and pay a bet, it's worthless. But I mean, there are so many possibilities there with these bells and whistles. And I guess you're considering, you know, what you can add onto yours.
Yeah, we agree. Yeah.
Great. So, let's go to the pandemic. Now, you took over here when the pandemic was winding down, really. You were able to open with 25% or 50%, and you weren't even closed here while you owned the property. But you certainly suffered through that in Twin River and some of the other properties you run. Are there any lingering effects of that right now that are still, you know, need to be overcome?
Well, there are certainly each jurisdiction kind of operated at its own pace,
right?
And certainly certain jurisdictions were more comfortable with lifting restrictions faster than others,
right?
And Rhode Island was one of the ones that lagged Atlantic City to a lesser degree,
right?
But in other markets they give you some perspective. In other markets where they lifted them early, it's they're exceeding 2019 numbers, you know, and business is strong. And these markets, they're just starting to be more aggressive about, you know, coming out of the COVID,
protocols.
Right. And so they're just lagging a little bit behind. But overall, we have confidence in, you know, us being able to accelerate through this because of what we're seeing in other jurisdictions.
Well, just from an outsider's perspective, it just looks like, you know, the summer here in Atlantic City is booming. I know in Vegas, you know, they're exceeding their expectations as well. Do you think that's going to even ramp up as the summer progresses?
You know, there's an interesting aspect to that. I mean, every part of me wants to say, absolutely, it's going to explode as never before. But, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities for your discretionary income right now that wasn't around for a long period of time.
Right.
So, like, everybody's got to get their share. However, based on reservations for this weekend and, you know, weather cooperates, you know, it could be record-breaking, I'm hoping. But, you know, no one knows absolutely for sure just exactly what's going to happen. As far as the with any leftovers from the pandemic, there are still people apprehensive, that even though some have been vaccinated, some have not. So I see some of that, and it's, only time will tell how it cleans up completely.
Right. So what are you seeing in terms of demographic? I mean, I've been talking to a lot of operators and they're telling me, you know, it was really a younger skew when they first started opening up. But again, as you mentioned, there was nothing else for them to do. There was no concert, no clubs open, so they came to the casino. Are you seeing some of the older folks now coming back?
Yeah, absolutely. We measure that.
Yeah.
Okay, and all these other markets, that especially the ones that opened up sooner than up in the Northeast, right? Those people are almost in the South, for example, they're almost all back, okay?
Right.
But they were hesitant at first, but we've seen them return, and they rank as some of our best customers. And I think in the Northeast, I think we're seeing enough of it. We're getting some really good traction in Rhode Island now. It's been very positive. You know, the question I think really to be asked is, what are they going to expect going forward in terms of the comprehensive gaming experience,
right,
as it relates to the amenities, you know, entertainment,
right,
food, and other events that were core to the experience that today are not there yet.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, how is that going to play out?
Yeah. And you always had such great shows here in the little showroom here at Bally's. It's a great showroom, but you always had the production shows. That's coming back as well.
Actually, yeah, I the place needed some energy. Okay, and so we booked this Motown Revisited, it starts on Saturday at 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and it's a high energy show. We have a 1,200-seat event center room, actually,
sure,
that we're going to play it, and we're excited about it. It's something for certainly the database customer, the regular comp customer. There's also a very affordable ticket, and we're trying to get the word out as much as we can. It was in entertainment, if I've learned anything, the longer your lead time, the better you'll do. We didn't have much of a lead time,
right,
but
sure,
we had to make a decision, and both George and I agreed that we just need energy in the place, you know,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to having a real nice experience up here for people where there has been none,
for
as long a period of time as it's been.
Well, guys, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. It's good to get together with you, but obviously I'm going to have to come back next summer to really soak in the advantages that this property is going to have at that point.
Well, said another way, to celebrate the success.
Okay. Great. Thanks, George.
Thank you.
Out of the sun, under the boardwalk, we'll be having some fun.
Under the boardwalk,
people walking above.
Under the boardwalk.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, with special thanks to IGT and its Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at IGT.com/peak. To learn more about Bally and its aggressive expansion plans, visit ggbmagazine.com. For all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the recovery from the pandemic, delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up for free at ggbnews.com by using the coupon code GGB180. And don't miss any edition of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.
Under the boardwalk,
under the boardwalk,
we'll be having some fun.
Under the boardwalk,
people walking above.
Under the boardwalk,
we were falling in love.
Under the boardwalk,
boardwalk.